We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You like Elton John, Paul?
Love Elton John. How can you not? I think he's got... So, here's the other thing. He has so many hits. There are some people that I know who, you know, they don't even realize, oh, this is Elton John too? This is... Yes!
I mean, did you see the movie?
No, I did not.
Love the movie. This takes me back to Cortland State, 1983. Kohler's beer, $2.99 for a case. We'd go in Steve Radler's dorm room and drink those. And then he had one of those like flashing light situations going on in his dorm room, you know? And we put on Rocket Man and other Elton John and just sit in there all night. You don't even know what Kohler's beer is, do you, Neutron?
No, but I know Elton John. I wanted to go to the Goodbye Yellow Brick Road tour when they had it here.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, why would you want to go to that? You're like very young, and Elton John is like not your type of music. And that contributed to me only going to one concert in my entire lifetime. So here we are.
So your mom sort of killed your dream there.
It was my mom or my dad, one of my parents.
Yeah.
That's well,
very sad.
I graduated in 1988 from high school. And it was kind of funny, the song that we all collectively sang quite often was Piano Man. That was kind of our song that we, you know, as a class, sort of sang a lot together.
Billy Joel.
Oh, I'm sorry. What am I talking about?
I thought you were switching to Billy Joel, that's all.
Rocket Man.
Man and the Rocket Man, they're the same thing.
I'm sorry, what am I doing? Rocket Man. That was like one
I love that song.
That's how you know I'm getting old, Joe.
You got to get that one out before the end of the show.
Rocket Man Neutron. Was a song that we all sort of sang, you know, that was, I don't want to say it was a theme song or whatever, but it was, you know.
Paul, I'm having troubles.
Why are you having troubles?
I may have to bolt for a minute or two. So if I do very quickly, you'll know why, and then it's your show. Okay?
Okay.
Not for the day.
Oh.
For just a
all right.
few minutes.
All right. That was okay. That was random, but okay, I got you.
While we're on the topic, what?
Can I just say one thing? I mean, we're not going to devote a whole lot of time to it, but it would, before we get back into the draft, since we're going to do a lot of draft all day and hear about people's arm length and bendability and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see the tweet from Drew Joyce from Duquesne?
No. What did he say?
You know, Drew Joyce, the head coach of...
Yes, LeBron's buddy.
It's not what he said, but it's what was
what
shown.
So you know how LeBron does the thing where he throws the powder up in the air to start the game?
Yeah.
It's Drew Joyce standing in front of the Duquesne logo, and he throws the powder in the air, and all he has is like, what is it, the little eyeballs? You know what I mean?
Ooh, does that mean his kid's coming here, LeBron's kid?
Listen, it's made it all the way to TMZ. That's the thing. It's made it all the way to TMZ city limits.
Well, Duquesne did have two commitments yesterday.
Right.
So that could have been what he was hinting at.
Yeah, but that would be the ultimate troll job
if
he did that and he wasn't and he didn't basically make it so that he was, you know, setting us up maybe today or tomorrow that Bronny James to Duquesne.
Well, the tweet even had about 1,000 likes on it, too. So it made waves. And Drew Joyce knows what he's doing there.
There's no question he knows what he was doing. But when I saw that yesterday, I said, oh, I mean, you know, when you think about it here, how many it's now has 66,000 views.
Yeah, I've heard good things on potentially Bronny coming to the Pittsburgh area and playing for Duquesne. Now, will it actually happen? I mean, Drew Joyce, why not continue to just put more attention on Duquesne?
Look, we got the Pitt Panther here. You see this?
Rock the Panther.
Rock the Panther is here. How about that?
Or take your kid to work day.
You never know who's going to show up in the studio. No, I just thought that was really interesting yesterday. And what was fun about it is all of the speculation that it's led to.
Oh, it's great for Duquesne.
And I was talking to a couple of people who I know who are big Duquesne fans, right? And they said, and I asked them, I said, could you imagine if you walk into a Duquesne game and LeBron James is sitting courtside to watch his son play?
The place will sell out just for Bronny.
That would be incredible.
And that's the thing, that like Duquesne finally has the spotlight for once in a very long time.
Yeah.
And for Drew Joyce to be able to embrace that, acknowledge it, and really see it clear as day, and do everything that he can to continue to just build up this spectra, this aura around Duquesne right now, it helps for recruitment. And it also, I'm sure, helps for the university just in general in bringing in new students that might want to come to Duquesne because there's a flair around Duquesne right now. Who wouldn't want to be? It's kind of like what Greg Elliott and some of the guys at Pitt said after they went to the NCAA tournament last year and won a couple of games. Who wouldn't want to go to Pitt? It's a similar feeling right now with Duquesne.
There's no question. So I think it's hilarious. I just think the whole thing is great for Duquesne. And I think Drew Joyce is going to do a fantastic job.
Yeah, it's cool to see for Joyce just right. because of the way that he has really grown into this role, playing for Dambrot, coaching with Keith Dambrot. And Dambrot seemingly at this point is going to not stay on completely as a guy that's – but those two are going to continue to communicate, and the transition process will continue. But there's no doubt about it that having that guy in that position – is going to bring continued eyes, whatever happens with Bronny James, and hey, very well could be on the bluff.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing to me. It would be, you know, it would be incredible for Duquesne. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there. Back to our regularly scheduled programming about the draft. Mel Kiper is another guy that has Graham Barton going to the Steelers. He says, Barton, my top-ranked center, has been a hot name in my calls with execs and coaches over the past week. People in the league think he'll be really good immediately at next level. Pittsburgh, which picks at 20, has had big-time centers throughout its history. Is the team most linked with Barton? I don't think it's out of the question. Mike Tomlin and company trade up a few spots to make sure they get him. So, I mean, there, a lot of people are sort of putting – the Steelers and connecting them with Graham Barton, who, if he is drafted, immediately becomes their starting center. And I hope that if they draft him, or if they draft their tackle, they don't play the game they did last year with Broderick Jones, where they made him wait till about the third game or whatever it was to become their fourth game or whatever to become the starter. Draft a guy, put him in a lineup. Make sure he's your guy.
It's funny that Kendrick Green was immediately inserted yes. as the starting center and Broderick Jones had to wait his turn like in line.
When they drafted him, we were basically led to be he was going to be some sort of diamond in the rough, Kendrick Green, and that he was going to be, you know, oh, he just doesn't have a lot of experience. Well, as it turns out, he doesn't have a lot of experience and he's not very good.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Whatever happened to the LeBron's kid story? Did you guys finish that? Does that mean he's coming here? Is that how you take that tweet?
That's what we were talking about. We were kind of like, it feels like
more foreshadowing than anything.
It feels like he's setting it up. And the funny thing is I told him, I said, that tweet from Drew Joyce, what did I say, 68,000 views. for a Duquesne tweet.
That would be unbelievable.
And
so
it's gone viral. Like I told him, I said TMZ is now writing about it, you know, and everything else.
All right. Well, that brings us up to speed. You were talking about Barton.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I go to what I was, what I had here?
Yeah, sure. No, I was just sort of, you know, pinch hitting there for you a little bit.
Neutron, did everything go well while I was gone?
Yes, we did a good job being Connor Joe, coming up to the plate and hitting a home run.
I love that. Well, Kendrick Green was in one of my questions. I have six Steeler draft questions from the year 2000. Just general questions for you guys, not trivia or anything. You ready? The most ridiculous pick they've made outside of the first round. I'll present some choices, and you guys give me your answer. Kendrick Green, an undersized guard from Illinois who didn't want to play center. Chris Oladukun, a seventh-round quarterback in a year where Brock Purdy went after him and they didn't need a quarterback and never used him for a single snap, even in a preseason game. Colin Holba, a sixth-round long snapper, and an act of sheer arrogance, as if the Steelers said to the world, we don't need to use a draft pick on a real player in the sixth round. We'll take a long snapper. No offense to long snappers. Dree Archer at 5'1" in 2014. Alonzo Jackson with the 59th pick in a different year. Or Limus Swede with the 53rd pick in a different year. What was the most ridiculous non-first round pick for the 21st century Steelers?
Oh, I mean, the long snapper has to be.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The quarterback thing, Oladukun, was idiotic. But basically their rationale for that was they were bringing in a guy who would give them a look similar to a number of the quarterbacks that they have to prepare for. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
bringing
right.
Oladukun,
yeah.
They could maybe he'd be a scout team guy that could give them a look that, you know, that the other three guys they had didn't give. I didn't like it, but okay, whatever. It's a seventh-round pick. But picking a long snapper was the absolute most ridiculously stupid thing.
That was a low point.
That was as low as it gets.
Neutron?
That was bad. The Dree Archer pick, because he was supposed to run as fast as the wind. What did he run, a 4.22, 4.24 at the combine?
Yeah.
And to be a complete and total bust, so many problems that he had off the field. There are a lot of guys that, are we going to do the top five worst Steelers that we have as well?
The top five
coming
what?
Up. Worst Steeler draft picks.
Yes, we are. Yes, in fact, we are.
I don't want to give too much away, but Colin Holba is also very high on my list, as well as Kendrick Green, who can't block, can't snap, and gets run over.
Other than that, he was good.
He was fine.
That was a bad pick. That was a very
bad pick.
Man,
what did they do to Ben in his final year here by getting him Green as a set? And I don't even blame Green. I blame them. What the hell were they thinking, honestly?
Yep.
All right, question two. Steelers 21st century drafts. Who was the best first-round pick based on where they were picked? May I give you some choices, Paul?
Yes.
We'll skip, like, last year's draft looks really good, so if you want to go there, please do so. But I'm talking about guys like T.J. Watt at 30th overall. I could even maybe stop there. Ryan Shazier.
Yeah, I was going to say, where are we going? Where am I?
Ben at 11. Troy Polamalu was the 16th pick. Is T.J. Watt the obvious one?
It has to be. 30th.
At 30th.
30th, they got maybe, I mean, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. If he retires right now, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
They got a Hall of Famer who's going to, by the time he's done, if he has a couple more years like he's had, you know, be in that conversation of maybe what, one of the top two or three guys that's ever played his position?
Yes.
At 30th.
At 30.
I mean, Ben is Ben, and that's great, but there, you know, there's he's...
Outside the top 10, though, that's a hell of a pick.
It is.
With Ben.
But
the best thing about TJ is that the Cowboys needed an edge rusher, desperately needed one. And a pick or two before, tell them who they got.
Taco Charlton.
Taco
is who they picked.
Jerry Jones, to his dying day, will regret that pick. Don't you wish we could get inside the Steeler draft room and the whole process and know who was in favor of T.J. Watt, like who was the point man, who might have been against it, because that's one of the greatest picks, first-round picks in NFL history.
Yeah, I fell for the bait of saying, well, he was J.J. Watt's brother. Can he really be as good as J.J. Watt or close to that? Whew. He might end up exceeding how good J.J. Watt was by the end of his career.
Better pick, T.J. Watt at 30th or Antonio Brown in the 6th round?
This has to be Antonio Brown.
No doubt about it.
I mean, come on.
That's their best pick of the 21st century.
That has to be. I mean wow.
Think about that.
You got another guy who, you know, some people can argue one way or the other, but you got a basically a Hall of Famer in the 6th round.
Yes, you did. He is a Hall of Famer.
Whether or not he gets in is, you know, because we know that voters vote, you know, voters sometimes vote, you know, with silly things and, you know, for silly reasons, they don't vote for guys or whatever. He might not get in just for, you know, oh, well, he was a jerk. He ran off the field without a shirt on, all the other stuff. But he's a Hall of Famer, and you got him in the 6th round.
Here's a trivia question for you guys as we tease ahead to City Limits trivia game coming up here. That year, 2010. They got Marquise Pouncey in the 1st round, Jason Worlds in the 2nd, and Emmanuel Sanders in the 3rd. Can you name any of the 5 players who were picked between Sanders and Antonio Brown by the Steelers that year? 5 players were picked between Sanders in round 3 and AB, Mr. Big Chest, in round 6. Name one of them. Anyone?
What year was it?
2010.
Was Sylvester Stevenson one of the guys?
No, but Stevenson Sylvester was.
Yes.
That's a great guess.
Yes, Stevenson.
That's big, right there. Yeah. That's really big.
Stevenson, I just remember that name, and I think he was right around that time.
The guys picked between Sanders and Brown.
There was another guy who became like a punchline. I forget what his name was, but he became like a punchline for total disaster of a bust pick.
Well, here's the guys.
Thaddeus Gibson.
Out of Ohio State. Chris Scott out of Tennessee. Cresden Butler out of Clemson. Stevenson Sylvester out of Utah. And Jonathan Dwyer from Georgia Tech.
I knew there was a running back thrown in there somewhere that was bottom of the barrel.
And the incredible thing is Antonio Brown's only the 2nd best 6th round pick ever. Tom Brady. And they wound up playing together for how many games? Like 4 before that thing imploded?
No, they won a Super Bowl together.
No, that was in Tampa. He wound up getting kicked off the Patriots.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see.
Yeah,
I'm saying
they wound up winning. You're right. Tampa, they won a Super Bowl together.
Yes, exactly. And he was actually pretty good in Tampa. Like
he caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
My apologies to you and yours. Who was the best final pick in a Steelers draft in the 21st century? Their last pick of a draft. Brett Kiesel.
Yeah.
Calvin Beecham or Presley Harvin III?
It's Kiesel.
It's Kiesel.
Presley.
It's Kiesel. Yeah,
Brett Kiesel.
That's a hell of a pick, yeah. Right? Congrats to Kevin Colbert
when they picked him. I'm pretty sure his agent was the guy from Monroeville. What's his name? The guy from Monroeville.
Yeah, I forget his name.
But I was talking to him, and he was telling me about how good Kiesel was in basketball.
I saw him play basketball for that Steeler basketball team. He was a crazy athlete for his height. Yeah. Just a great athlete and had a really great Steeler career. He used to – him and – was it him and Hines on special teams at the beginning there? Is that what I remember? Those two together? Maybe not. But I know Kiesel was a monster on special teams, and so was Hines. I don't know if they were together, but Hines used to kill people when he first came in the league on, like, kick returns and stuff like that. All right. We had some very unfortunate picks, three in a row recently. Give me worst to first on these first-round picks. Terrell Edmonds, Devin Bush, Chase Claypool.
Worst to first?
Yeah.
On what? First-round picks?
Just those three guys.
Because Claypool was a second-round pick, wasn't he?
But he was the Steelers' first pick, should say. Yeah, I should say first pick.
So it's Edmonds, Claypool, and who was the third one?
Bush.
Okay, I'll go like this. I think worst to first?
Yes.
I think Claypool was the worst of those three.
Who's second worst?
Followed by Bush, followed by Edmonds. Edmonds was actually a functional. He wasn't great.
Edmonds was good late in that contract that they gave him.
He wasn't actually horrible.
I disagree. I'm going to go Edmonds the worst.
Wow.
What?
Yep. Bush the second worst and Claypool the best. Claypool was
don't
good.
Give Claypool was that good credit.
He was really good for two years.
No, he
two
was
two years. He had two games.
You're wrong. Two games.
He stunk.
He had about five games, realistically. He was not good.
That's flat out false. In his years here, Chase Claypool had 175 catches for 2,200 yards and 13 touchdowns. Limits.
I don't remember him fondly.
Most people don't, and for good reason. But remember, we're comparing the other two. Terrell Edmonds was never good. He was average. And Devin Bush, as a rookie, made the all-rookie team.
Yeah, but
he was good before his knee injury. But I'm not saying he wasn't a bust. This is in context.
He was a symbol of a bust.
I know. And they traded up to 10. He wound up being a bust. I just think Edmonds was the picture of, like, averageness.
I just say this, though, Joe? And this is what I say about Edmonds, okay? If he would have been a third or fourth round pick, no one would have ever had a problem with him.
Sure.
Do you know
what I'm saying?
With that. He was actually a solid NFL player. The problem was the expectations that come with being a first
round. Yeah, and the position that they drafted. Right. And we saw when he's gone out on the open market, nobody ever wants him.
I don't know that Bush is a solid NFL player.
I think he was before the knee injury.
And I don't think that Claypool was either.
Not now. But Claypool was very, very good as a rookie and not bad at all as a second-year guy. And plus, he was the 49th pick. You're right, he wasn't even a first-round pick. Limits. He had 9 touchdowns his first year, 873 yards. The next year, 860 yards on 59 catches, and then he just fell apart. So we disagree on that one. I looked up who last year's most accurate mock drafters were, and one of the top four, as a matter of fact, was Garrett Podell. If I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Garrett, am I?
You are. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. From CBS Sports, you had a really good year last year. You were like the Steelers. You had an excellent draft. And you have them taking who? Tell the people who you have them taking at 20.
So this year at 20, I believe offensive line is where they're going to look to add. They took Broderick Jones a year ago out of Georgia. I think if he falls to them, I think Alabama offensive tackle J.C. Latham would be a great pick for them. He can play inside at guard, but also a tackle. He was predominantly a right tackle at Alabama. Broderick Jones, he played left at Georgia. So it could be up to Mike Tomlin and his coaching staff to figure out who's going to play right, who's going to play left. But I think the biggest thing for whoever's going to be the quarterback in Pittsburgh this year, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, both those guys are quarterbacks who've taken a lot of sacks, which is a really inefficient play, obviously, for an offense. So limiting that, giving them as many clean pockets as possible is going to be critical. So I think J.C. Latham would be a nice add for Pittsburgh.
So when you do these mock drafts, I might as well, let me just ask this. How do you come to a place where you decide that certain player fits with certain team? I mean, do you try and gather intelligence? Or I mean, how do these things come together?
That's a great question. I would say you definitely have to do your reading and reaching out to people and things like that. But I think what's also really predictive or something you can do to kind of gauge that is looking into different teams and different general managers' preferences at certain positions when you combine it with you look at their roster. Okay, what are their needs and what do they like to do? Like, for example, the Green Bay Packers have for wide receivers. They have a very clear profile of we want somebody who's a little bit above 6 feet. We want them a little bit stronger. They have you just look at the profile of the type of wide receiver they draft. They all kind of fit this kind of mold. And different teams have different athletic thresholds for different positions. So if you look back at, you know, the history of that type of thing, what positions are certain executives willing to take or more prone to take in the first round, and then you combine it with need. And then also you have to watch a lot of college football, watch a lot of tape, figure out stylistically who these players are and kind of what their value might be. And then you kind of go from there and plug and play and kind of see how the draft cycle unfolds from after the Super Bowl up until now. You were talking about what could change from mock draft from Tuesday to today. Yeah. Seeing kind of how the market and what's kind of being said about these guys. And then you kind of try and do your best to react to it. And last year I was fortunate enough to have one of the better mock drafts in sports media, which is really, really cool.
And that's why our little friend Neutron got a hold of you. His name is Austin Bechtold, and we're very proud of him, Garrett. You have Garrett Graham Barton on the board when the Steelers pick, but them passing him up. What do you make of him? Do you have a problem with him not having played center recently? You have him going to the Cowboys. What position would he be going to them as? A tackle?
No, I would have him as a guard. He was a left tackle at Duke. He's a great player. I think he's one of the best interior offensive linemen in this draft. Now, he was a college left tackle, but he's a guard or center at the next level because he's got a shorter arm length for an offensive lineman, 32 and 7/8 inches, and he can sometimes struggle with quicker, more speedy edge rushers, but really great, technically sound player, really great in the run game, fluid hips, light on his feet in the passing game. I just think in terms of his long-term success in the NFL, it's going to be inside. And I felt like the Steelers would love to get a long-term foundational piece at the other tackle spot.
Long-term but short arms. Is he the Kenny Pickett of interior linemen here?
No, he's not. You know, there's not a meme about his arm length like there was about Kenny Pickett's hand. So it's not that bad. It's just somebody who was a good offensive tackle in college, but just best fit guard in the pros. There's a lot of guys like that. He's not an outlier when it comes to hand size or arm size or anything like that. There are a lot of guys who have arms that aren't quite tackle length, and that's okay.
One guy that seems to be tied a little bit to the Steelers in a number of drafts is Amarius Mims. What are your thoughts on him?
I like him a lot. I mean, he is somebody whose evaluation is, you know, you're going to have to project a little bit because at Georgia, he only started 8 out of his 30 college career games. I mean, Georgia was loaded. They won back-to-back titles, 2021, 2022. But he did start their second of 2 back-to-back title games, 2022 against TCU, and he never allowed a sack in college on 377 pass-blocking snaps. And so you like that. You like the stats there. And in terms of projecting, cause that's really what the draft is, right? Figuring out who's going to be great, you know, years from now. Amarius Mims is a giant, 6'8", 340. But if you look at him and watch him play, if you look at his waist, his torso, you know, he's not someone with a big gut. Like, he's a fit 6'8", 340. So you look at that body and you coach him up. I think that he's got great potential and would be a nice pick for Pittsburgh also.
Paul, I'm starting to lean toward Mims right now.
Yes.
And Garrett, when I see that this guy didn't allow a sack in almost 400 pass blocking snaps, that he started both of the playoff games last year, the CFP game, no sacks allowed. He's barely played. So you're getting a guy, some of these guys you get, you feel like their bodies have been through hell in college.
Yeah.
This guy's barely played, and he's 6'7", 340. He actually ran a decent 40. Not that that matters, but it is proof of his athletic ability. I'm starting to lean in that direction. He seems like a rare kind of kid.
I would agree with you. I mean, I've never seen somebody who was 6'8", 340 run a 40 and under 5.1 seconds. I mean, that is unheard of. Like you said, offensive linemen, they're not going out and running routes, but what that does tell you is that he has the speed and, you know, potentially the agility to, if he's blocked in the run game, not only knock down a defensive lineman, but can climb to the second level and then engage linebackers or defensive backs to try and keep paving the way for a longer run for who's ever carrying the ball for Pittsburgh on a given play. So, yeah, I think he could be one of the gems that kind of drops a smidge because of the experience. But if you're going off the traits, I think he's a great, great pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's so much to like. And I think legitimately he could be around when they pick, correct?
Correct, yeah. I think he's going to be available in the late teens, early 20s, which is Steelers at 20. That's right in their wheelhouse.
Now, the other position that people are talking about is receiver. Brian Thomas Jr. is a guy that the Steelers have been connected with a lot by a number of different mockers. What do we call mockers or mock drafters?
Meet the mockers.
Meet the mockers. and mock drafters, we'll call them. A number of them have Brian Thomas Jr. as the Steelers' first pick. It would surprise me if they went receiver, but what about you?
I like Brian Thomas Jr. a lot. I think he's a great prospect. 6'3", just about 210 pounds, led the country in receiving touchdowns with 17. He was Jaden Daniels. Deep threat there, one of two, along with Malik Nabers. He averaged 17.3 yards per catch, explosive off the line of scrimmage. I like him. I think if Mims or Latham is available, you want to really shore up offensive tackle. But I could see wide receiver there. Now, I've seen the Steelers also rumored to engage for Brandon Ayuk. And, you know, that would probably cost the first-round pick this year and then maybe – one of their two third-round picks. They have two. They got one from the Eagles because of the Kenny Pickett trade. And that was the charge for the Philadelphia Eagles to trade for A.J. Brown on draft night a couple years ago, was a first and a third. So it kind of depends how much the Steelers want to invest in that wide receiver position. I like offensive line, but you can make a case. Brian Thomas Jr., he would be a fit, as would Ayuk.
Man, there's a couple guys that if they somehow made it to 20, I'd be willing to shred my positional draft chart, and that is Byron Murphy, the defensive lineman from Texas, who you have going 16 to Seattle, who is an absolute animal, and then Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia. Percent chance that either one of those gets to 20, and would you sprint to the podium for either?
I think I would give Murphy a better chance. Bowers, to me, you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, one of your AFC North rivals. I just do not see him getting past Cincinnati at 18. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to drop. I think the farthest he would drop maybe is like 15 to the Colts. But, if Byron Murphy was available at 20, I agree with you. You rip it up and you chase that Byron Murphy pick right to the podium. I mean, he's a little undersized height-wise for defensive tackle. There have been a number of defensive tackles whose height wasn't quite right, and they ended up being great players. Aaron Donald, who came out of Pitt, was one of them. I'm not saying Byron Murphy is that, but Murphy had the highest quarterback pressure rate in college football for a defensive tackle a year ago, 17%, highest pass rush grade for a defensive tackle from Pro Football Focus. He's an electric pass rusher from that defensive tackle spot, putting him next to T.J. Watt. Would be a lot of fun. So I totally understand Byron Murphy. I don't think either of those guys are going to be around at 20, but, you know, it's always fun to dream. You never know. I mean, who knows? But, yeah, I would agree with you that Byron Murphy probably has a better chance of slipping down, but I don't think either really realistically going to be there.
I think, you know, one of the thoughts that people here in this town have is that the Steelers will go tackle with their first pick and then try and trade up in the second round for center. Are there a couple of guys that could be there in the second round, you know, or maybe early second round, that could actually be sort of plug-and-play centers for the Steelers?
That's a great question, and I would say yes. I think there are going to be a couple plug-and-play guys, so I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon and Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. Jackson Powers Johnson, he's probably, to me, the top center prospect in this draft. He absolutely crushed it at the Senior Bowl out in Mobile, Alabama, and he is an absolute dominator in the run game. I think he is just absolutely phenomenal there. When he kind of drops anchor to pass set, he's very hard to move off the spot. To me, that's your top center. Now, I don't know if he's going to be around by the time the Steelers are on the clock in the second round. You mentioned maybe trading up. But Zach Frazier, he could very well be available for you guys in round two. And I think you're going to like his background. So he was a four-time state champion wrestler out of West Virginia. So he's an absolute brawler. He didn't allow a sack on 328 pass-blocking snaps in 2023. Slightly undersized on the height-weight combo for a center, 6'3", 313. But you love the background. He was a back-to-back first-team All-Big 12 conference player. I think that would be a great add at center as well.
Paul and Neutron, do you mind if I engage Garrett in a game of free association?
It's our favorite.
It's our favorite time of the day.
Garrett, I ask quick questions, and you would give quick, even a yes or a no, if it comes to that, answers. Are you ready to engage in this game?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
You have Caleb Williams going first overall. Would he be your first quarterback taken?
Yes, I think when you look at the way he can throw the ball downfield, move around the pocket, move outside the pocket, he's slam dunk, first pick.
Drake May, second to the Commanders. Would you recommend that?
I would. I think the conversation between Drake May and Jaden Daniels, and we dig a little deeper on the analytics behind the two. I wrote a column on this for CBSSports.com. The sack to pressure numbers and the willingness to throw over the middle both heavily favor Drake May, and those are two areas where Jaden Daniels is a little inefficient, which you know, are traits that would raise some eyebrows for me when evaluating a quarterback.
The answer was slightly long, but it was a good one, Garrett. I like that one. How about J.J. McCarthy? I'm getting very enamored with him, like a lot of teams, as the draft gets closer. I saw an interview with him last night. I think he's going to be a really good NFL quarterback. Do you?
I think he's a question mark, and I would not take him with a first-round pick in the first half of the draft because a lot of his evaluation relies on guesswork projection, run-heavy offense. Wasn't asked to carry a whole lot in the passing game in terms of passing concepts they asked him to run. So to me, back into the first round, sure. First half, I would not.
Now let's go real rapid fire. Brock Bowers, which team does he go to?
Jets. I think Aaron Rodgers puts a word in.
What's wrong with Jaden Daniels' elbow? It looks like he has four of them.
I have no idea, man. I've seen that picture. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but it does look weird.
Something horrible has happened to him. I don't know if that affects his draft status or what. If the Steelers were to go corner, who's the best at around number 20?
Best corner, that would be if Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo drops. Really long arms, big frame, led the country in passes defended the last year. I think if he drops, I think he's going to go before that. But if he's around, Quinyon Mitchell.
Don't tell me the Chiefs are going to wind up with the guy with the fastest 40 in history. They're going to wind up with Xavier Worthy, aren't they? You have him going to them at pick 32. So Mahomes is now going to have the fastest guy in history.
I think they would probably like to get an offensive tackle, but I think all their first round guys are going to be off the board when they're up at 32, and then they're going to go wide receiver. And I think they're going to get, you know, another Tyreek Hill profile like guy. I'm not saying Worthy can be that guy, but yeah, I think they have a chance if they want to invest in receiver, which Mahomes kind of banged the table for. I saw an interview in the KC Star that he would like one, so I could see it.
That is absolute bird milk. Now give me one name a Puka Nacua guy, somebody who's going to, a receiver who's going to fall in the draft because of his 40 or some other stupid reason, who's going to be an absolute stud. Second, third, fourth, fifth round.
I think Ricky Pearsall out of Florida, he's somebody who broke out last year for Florida. Great traits, tested well. He might drop to middle, end of the second round, but I think he has a lot of upside.
Garrett,
but Puka Nacua, I mean, he broke the rookie receiving record. I'm not promising that, but I think he'll be a good player.
No, this was tremendous stuff, Garrett. You did a great job last year. We'll be following closely this year. Thanks for taking the time, man. I hope we can talk again, maybe after the draft to rank it.
That would be great. I would love to come back on with you guys. I had a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for coming on, sir.
Be sure to say goodbye to Austin City Limits on the way out. What do we have, Limits? Thank you, yeah. Garrett.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.